small thing, but I said, oh, by the way, I have a wart on my thumb. And he said, why don't you go to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist will freeze it off. That seems simple enough for me. So I called the dermatologist, get it, it's tricky to get into the dermatologist, so it took a little while, so I still have a wart on my thumb, but it's okay, because I'm going to go to the dermatologist with the wart on my thumb, and it would be gone. So she said, you have warts on your thumb. And she said, but I can freeze it off. I said, thank you. And so I sat there, and she explained what she was doing, and I held, and I was brave, and she nitro-froze my thumb. And I was waiting for, right there in her very office, for the warts to fall off of my thumb. 2 years later, I'm wearing this bandage, so that did not occur. But she assured me that it would start to take effect, right? Trust you. 6 weeks later, I went back to the same doctor for the warts on my thumb. And she said, oh, I see not much activity, but I can freeze it again. So now I have to be brave again, but this time I know what's coming, so it's a little different kind of bravery. It's like, this needs to be different. Then she says, go ahead and put this on at nighttime and put a Band-Aid on it. So now every night I have to remember, and I wasn't too good. It was like 50-50, because that was a lot. Put Band-Aid, 5 Band-Aid, 2 Band-Aids at the thumb, it's crazy. 6 weeks later, 6 weeks later, 6 weeks later, okay. This is a problem because I still have warts on my thumb and you're having to do this thing at night and we're coming in for these torture sessions every 6 weeks and things are not shifting in my thumb. So a year after seeing her every 6 weeks for my thumb, in the middle of that time, she started to peel away. So now she would say, well, let me peel some away. So she would peel some away before she froze it, which would add to the pain of the experience and still not the outcome that we're looking for. So then I finally said, let me go to someone. So I went to another doctor in the practice, and I was happy for him. He said he would freeze the blank out of my thumb. And I said, well, that's good. I want someone to freeze the blank out of my thumb. So I gave it to him, and he, and I said, okay, freezing the blank, this is going to do it. This is going to transform my thumb. Then I went to a third doctor with the warts on my thumb. And she said, well, yeah, I can peel it back. And then I can give you a prescription. She said, how did the Band-Aid that I said the 50-50? She said, I get it. I said, a compassionate woman, I appreciate this. And she said, I'll give you some acid-like something. So at this point, I'm just saying, somebody take my thumb. It's been 50 years with all 10. Somebody take the thumb. I don't want to deal with this. And I've been coming, and you've been peeling, and you've been freezing, and you've been freezing the blood. I just take my thumb. So she said, it's a mask that I can peel. She said the same thing everyone else said, I can peel it back. But in the middle of it, then she says, you know there's no cure for the wart on your thumb. I said, this is quite a racket you all are doing because I'm here because I'm looking for a cure for the warts on my thumb. She said, there's no cure for the warts on your thumb. I have 4 doctors participating in this conspiracy against my She said, all we're trying to do is irritate it enough so the body takes notice. Because when the body takes notice that something's wrong on your thumb, the body will address the situation in a way that nothing else can. We're not trying to solve the wart. We're trying to get the attention of your body. Because when the body takes notice, the warts won't be a problem. But we just have to keep agitating so the body can take notice. Now I let her go because I got a little spiritual something. So I said, okay, doctor, I'm good with you. And now I did my acid, and maybe it's getting a little better. I'll give you an update next time I come. But what she said was so profound to me that there are issues that you are having that no external source is going to solve. No medication, no treatment plan, no nothing, no surgery. That what would solve it is the body has to notice, and the body has to do something that only the body can do. And when the body does that, the warts are resolved. I begin to think of the body of Christ, and I begin to wonder, who's agitated among us? Who's experiencing irritation among us? Who's going through stuff that's more than what people can handle, more than what's fair, more than what's bearable? And the irritation and the agitation continues and continues, and that wart of a person is waiting for the body to take notice, for the body to do what only the body can do. And until the body takes notice, the irritation continues. And the problem's not solved. I'm wondering today that in all the prayers that we pray, in all the things that we do to remove the warts of our life, that if part of God's answer to our prayers is the body of Christ doing the body of Christ. That if I have a need, I might not find it in all the places that I'm looking for, that maybe the answer for my need is embedded in this gift that God's given called the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ takes notice of me and my situation, there's something that transpires when the body takes notice and the body begins to address these matters of word like this in our life. If the body takes notice. But friend, hear what I'm telling you. There are some of us in this room who've been dealing with things for 2 years and have been trying to get relief from issues in our life. And it gets worse and worse and worse. And worse, we feel we have no place to turn, no solution, and we cry out and we pray, and maybe, just maybe, you are holding the answer for the wart sitting in the other section. But if you don't take notice, then I don't get healed. If you don't take notice, then I don't get addressed. And as you watch the agitation get worse and worse in my life, this is so sad. But oftentimes, the human nature, when things get messier, is not to move
forward.
Not to move towards the messiness. Ooh, let me just take a half step back. So not only does the body of Christ need to take notice, the body of Christ can't. I'm about to use a double negative, I don't think that'll work, but let me say, we can't ignore it. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore it. When we're the, like my body's doing, like my body's doing. Listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. My fellow believers, I don't want you to be confused about spiritual realities. Yes. For you know full well that when you are believers, you're often led astray in one way or another by your worship of idols, which is incapable of talking with you. Therefore, I want to impart to you an understanding of the following. No one speaking by the Spirit of God would ever say Jesus is the accursed one. No one can say Jesus is Yahweh unless the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. The same way, the Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. The Lord Yahweh is one, and he is the one who apportions to every believer different varieties of ministry. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each believer's gifts and ministries as he energizes and activates them. I want you to feel this. That we're describing the body of Christ, and it's how God's designed the body of Christ. That he has put in his body unique gifts and talents, and he has many miracles that are activated and energized inside of the body. His body. Yes. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but the whole body. What God's deposited in you doesn't make sense outside of the context of the body. What good is it for you to hold out when the body has need here? Yes. For example, the Spirit gives to one the word of wisdom, to another word of revelation of knowledge, yes. And to another, the gift of faith, gifts of healing. And to another, the power to work miracles, to another, the gift of prophecy. And to another, the gift to discern what the Spirit is saying. To another, the gift of speaking in different kinds of tongues. And another, the gift of interpreting those tongues. Remember, it's the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as he chooses for each believer. And I'm going to stop there and I'm just going to pray for us. God, thank you that you distribute gifts to us, activate them in us, and energize them in us for your body's sake. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all immersed and mingled into one single body. Love that. We're mingled together. It's the Passion Translation. And no matter our status, whether we're Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we're all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if we were to say, I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. And if the ear would say, since I'm not the eye, I'm really not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it's still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could we hear? Whole body were an ear, how could we smell? But God has carefully designed each member and placed it into the body to function. As he desires. God, break through, jackhammer through right now our mindset that would say anything else besides we are carefully created by you to function and we're an important part of your body. Father, I pray that you would heal up every person who's been impacted by a lie from your people who have said anything to the contrary, that they are less, that they are not as important, that they are to be marginalized, that they're not part of the mainstream. Father, forgive those who've said it and heal those impacted. A diversity is required for the body consists of one single part, then there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. My daughter's going for nursing. She's in the final semester, so I'm at dad, and I'm saying, oh, Jordan, I'm sure it's amazing to see the body. What systems of the body work together? Like, tell me something interesting. You know, I know the respiratory, the circulatory, those, the heart and lungs. But like, what are you finding? What two systems kind of work together in a way that would surprise me? Kind of, she said, oh, Dad, the systems work with all of the systems. And I'm so blah. You know, it's like, no, it's not like this. It's like the only way any of the systems work is that all of the systems work together. With many different parts and functions, but one body. Would be wrong for the eye to say, I don't need you. Wrong for the head to say to the foot, I don't need you. Wrong for those who've experienced this stream of the body of Christ to say, I don't need you. Wrong for those who believe differently than you do, I don't need you. In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat them with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat them with propriety and we clothe them. But some of the body parts don't require as much attention. That God has mingled body parts together, giving greater honor to lesser members who lack it. Look at that. We can't say, my wife had surgery and was having her gallbladder removed, and the doctor's like, that's okay, we'll remove your gallbladder, it'll be okay. And we're like, wait, I appreciate that it's going to be okay, and it probably will be okay, but can you just walk us through why the gallbladder's there, and you're so comfortable saying you can live without it? Let's talk about this before you start cutting and removing. But you do that with one another. You know, this church can survive without this person. The body can survive without this expression. It's okay, we can still function, it's okay. Wait. Before you cut out, wait. God put in, I'm not just going to quickly cut out. I want my body. And it may not seem like this expression of this person met, but I want the whole. Because it's an intermingling of the body. And we wouldn't be who we are unless the body is the body. And the body is uniquely who they're called to be. So we don't read off other people's script. All right, I don't want you to do what the lung's doing. Stop trying to beat lung, breathe. Stop trying to be someone else. Stop trying to believe like someone else. Stop trying to have the same experience as someone else. Oh, they walked around the house 7 times and they got a check in the mail. Let me walk around. That may not be what God has for you. Have your own experience with God and make room for other people to have their own experience with God. Arriving in the body is not only right, it's how this thing works. Yes. He's done this intentionally. Everyone say intentionally. So that every member would look after the others with mutual concern. And so there'd be no division in the body. Yes. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers.
Brother, I want you to know you're in a good place. It's just pretend. It's not really good. It's not pretend. You're in a good place. No matter what you go through, no matter what life throws your way, your work, your family, no matter what, personal life, when things go well, when things don't go well, if you're suffering, we're going to stop the pressing, and we're going to walk toward you, and we're going to suffer with you. We're not going to ask for a quick solution. We're not going to be allergic to your pain. We're actually going to sit in it with you. Until things are solved and things are better, we're not afraid of you and your suffering. Listen to what that sounds like. That's the body. That's the body. If one's honored, everyone rejoices. We're so excited for you. Wendy, thank you for sharing that with us. Because for you to share that with us means you also have to share the other part of your story, that there was a season of your life that was different. And that's brave to share with us and to entrust us with your story. But we can celebrate with you for a year. And you know what? You get no judgment here. It's a hard hard road, and a road that you've traveled that some of us don't know in the same way. We know other areas of our lives, so we can tell you about that. But thank you for sharing that. We honor you, and we'll continue to honor you. And on days when it's good and things are easier than not, we'll rejoice with you. And don't be afraid if things get tricky and hard, because you can still come to us. It doesn't mean that we stop celebrating, even when things get different or difficult. We're going to still be there, and we're going to honor what God's done in this season, and we're going to continue to pray for future seasons that are good. When you are honored, we're going to celebrate with you. You are part of the anointed one, and each of you is a unique, vital part of it, yes. God has placed in the church the following: apostles, prophets, teachers, those with the gift of miracles, divine healing, gift of revelation knowledge, gift of leadership, gifts of different kinds of tongues. You know, part of our emphasis sometimes has been on deciphering this and saying, okay, what is this gift? And let's understand this. Who has this gift? And who has this? And how can they function in this gift? And I think sometimes we have so focused on the micro of what's the gift and how do I function that we've missed the macro. The macro is great. And Paul's not even trying to be exhaustive. He's just trying to say, listen, there are so many varieties of gifts. And here's like a sampling of what's going on. But the way that God moves among his people is endless, as infinite as our God is. What I'm telling you is he's doing a variety of things through a variety of people. Honor one another, be part of the body, be activated, be energized within the body of Christ. That's how this works. Amen. That's how this works. That everyone's apostle, not everyone's a prophet, not everyone's a teacher, not everyone has to be like you, not everyone has to worship like you, not everyone has to think like you, not everyone has to run their home like you, not everyone has to do their thing like you, not everyone has to do their money. Stop trying to impose on people your system of thinking and being and calling, well, if you're a believer, you've got to do it my way. If you're a believer, you'll make room for people doing it a variety of ways. Not everyone performs miracles or has a gift of healing or speaks in tongues. Stop shaming people when they don't show up in the way that you've shown up. In the body of Christ, there's such a caste system. And we determine what the cast is. Oh, if you've had A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you're on the top left. Oh, only A, B, C, D? Thank you very much. You missed the E, F, G. Woo, child, if you had the E, F, G, you'd be on the top. Oh, you have A. Lowercase A. What is that? Do you know your answer might just be with lowercase A? You know, all these miracles and faith, and oh, I want to be with the A, B, C, D, E, F, G people. And there could be a lowercase a that just says, you know what, I'll listen to you. I don't think I can offer much, but I can listen to you and offer you a cup of tea. And sometimes what you need is a lowercase a. Can you listen to me and have a cup of tea with me? You don't have to perform anything. You don't have to anoint me. You don't have to pray for me. You don't have to jerk a wall me. You don't have to. Can you just sit long enough for me to talk to you? Can you sit without a timer as I share my story? Will you make room for my story? And sometimes that's all. Sometimes healing comes through a cup of tea. Yes. But you should all constantly boil over with passion and seeking the higher gifts, and then it goes on to talk about how we love one another. Here it is, listen. The body of Christ is this place. Brother, we're committed to loving you. If there's a need in your life to serve, we'll interrupt the flow of our life.
lives, we'll make time for you. We'll wait for you. We're not going to judge you. We're going to even put your needs above our own. We're going to care about what happens to you. We care for you. We're going to be kind, even if you're not kind to us. If there's an offense, we promise to forgive. We're not going to run away. We might have to deal with stuff, but we're not going to run away. We're not going to get nervous if we see a side of you that's not so nice. I'm here. We're here. We're committed to you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to support you. We're going to bear your burdens with you. You are not alone. That's what it means to be connected to this. We might disagree on something, that's okay. There's room in our relationship for disagreement. There's room in our relationship for figuring things out. But what there's not room for is us not to love. We're connected to you. You're vital to us. That's how it works. I wonder, Jesus said, this is how they're going to know that you belong to me. Certainly not in your buildings or your programs or not in your office. It's in how you stop what press is and see and hear and love and care for people. We look at his life. Listen, Jesus. And if I was arranging the 33 years that the God of heaven and earth would be on earth, I wouldn't do it like they did. Like, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I'd have him run their Bibles in preschool. We have to hurry up. Get you started early. You know, get them talking early and kind of like that. Like, come on, minister at age 30. What about age 3? We only have 33 years. But he said, for 30 years, I just want to be among the people. And we say that, like, you know, his ministry started at third, but the decision is the modeling. I want to be connected. I want to be connected. I mean, if you even allow me to say, I just want to model what it means to be connected to body. Not this outside agent who comes, just I'm connected to the people. I'm connected to the community. I'm with. They know me. Isn't this Jesus? But then he spends these three concentrated years. Freeing up, starting this big, and he, so much of his time is spent with individual people. Along the way, even. It's not like, hey, see Jesus down at Jericho, you know, 3 days of life. It's like, oh, the people I just happened to run into. Jesus spends his time ministering, not the strategic plan, like, okay, if we go to Jericho, we'll be able to get this group of people. If we go here, we're going to get this group of people. Go here, the sundown, sundown, whatever. He's like, he's just walking along the way, and there's a woman who says, Jesus, have mercy on me. The along the way people is where Jesus finds his greatest ministry. Who are your along the way people that need your expression of the body of Christ? Your neighbor. Your co-worker, your doctor, your family member, your cousin you don't get along with, your daughter-in-law you haven't spoken to, like who in your along the way? The person you live with. The body of Christ, to love and serve and care for and honor and be with and being kind and compassionate. But I'm going to tell you, our church culture, I'm not saying this church culture, I'm just saying church culture, if we're not careful, pushes against what we're talking about. It's not about body, it's about one person and one place and one belief and one thinking and one goal and one objective and we borrow rules from business and we borrow rules from whatever and we organize and we structure and we operationalize and we chart and we value some and don't value others and we target some and we don't target others and the body of Christ just doesn't function that way. So when I get it, we have to organize in some way. Get it. But if ever our organization of church becomes the engine of our training, and tailing behind is the body of Christ activity as the caboose, that's a problem. It's this that we're talking about today, this active, engaged, energized body, serving and loving and caring, creating space and being hospitable and listening and staying with and standing with and rejoicing and mourning. All of that has got to be the primary drawer. And then we say, well, how do we organize around that? But that's what's primary. Here's a story. 20 years I pastored and I was involved in church, and there was a woman who comes to church and we were involved in music together, so I played and she played the violin, she had kids, children ministry. We just did church stuff for 20 years. And then I wasn't going to the church, but was having a group of people at the house. And she came to this group of people and we just had this smaller connect time in the house and worship. And I listened to this woman that I had pastored for 20 years, share horrific parts of her story that she had lived during the time I was pastor, that I had no access. I didn't know that was going on in your family. I didn't know that was going on in your marriage. I didn't know you had to go with that. I didn't know that was your fear. I didn't know that was your concern. Because in what we were building, we didn't have time to get to know. What I knew was she played the violin. What I knew was she taught Sunday school. What I knew she was nice and we chatted and we had good. And I'm not saying we were friendly and we were kind enough, but we didn't spend the concentrated away from the crowds time enough to really understand what was going on inside of her heart and mind and family and home. I can't do church like I did. I can't objectify people and just use people for their gifts and talents and not. What's your story? Who are you? How do I stand with you? You're not a number to me. You're not a seat to me. You're not an offering to me. You're not a gift to me. You're you. And what's your story? And what do you bring? What does a body bring to you? And how can we together be the body? I'm going to say one more thing now. There may be situations that come in that require a lot from the body. Situations that just start waiting. People need us to walk with them in a very intentional way, and it feels a lot. The body can adjust and handle. You seem to have a pregnant body, right? Not my own, just a pregnant body. How when there's that new baby growing, yeah, some things might need to arrange, and it might even bring discomfort, and whew, this part of my body that used to sit there has to, and then, you know, just, but what's the alternative? You just say, okay, I'm not going to make room for this new. There'll be some people who come through these doors. There'll be some situations that come through these doors that will require us to be uncomfortable. And for us maybe to experience discomfort. And might push on some things that are normally status quo to make room. But make room. As a church, make room. In your home, make room. Oh, I have my budget all figured out. I get it. Every now and again, God's going to come with a need that you're going to have to adjust your budget to meet that need. No, we got this all figured out. We're saving for a family. We can't get it. But there's going to come a time, every now and again, normally that works, but there's going to be a time you're going to have to reach into that vacation money and provide it for the need for someone else, because that's how the body functions. And in 2 weeks, you might need someone from the body to come and it's how it functions. So open up your table and invite people. So open up that extra room and invite people. So sit on your front porch and talk to your neighbors. So join that community group and invest in the people around you, not to reel them in, not so that you can make them believers like you, but you do it because you are a believer. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the one to go who's called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. You're called to go to be the chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. You be the body of Christ. You be the body. You be the body. You be the body. You be the man. You know, the people who were so frustrated with Jesus were the Pharisees, the religious folk. You're not following our rules. You know, we like you, Jesus. We like you. If you just kind of get on board with us, we got a good thing going. People are attracted to you, right? But he just refused to make the rules more important than the people. He refused to make the institution more important than the individual. He just refused. And it infuriated the church folks. Because they couldn't manage him. They couldn't manage him. But we are the body of Christ. Called by his name. To be energized and to love and to serve and to give, to pray and to listen, forgive, to help. And the minute we stop being the body, tell you this is sad. There are many churches that are still churching without body. There are many churches that are successful in churching, but they're not bodying. So always make room for the body to be the body. Because if the body is not the body, there's no need for the church. For the church. I have a word on my tongue. It seems as though the body is starting to get notice of it. I think it's getting better. But the reason it's getting better has nothing to do with all that they're trying to do to it. It's who God has already created my body to be. There are needs in this world right now. Needs in your community, in your families. There are needs right now. And the body might just be the answer to those needs. Father, may we be the body that you called us to be. Holy Spirit, in the way that only you can, can you, can you convict us? Meaning, can you get our attention? Can you nudge us? Can you whisper in our ear? Can you kind of jab us in the side to energize us today, to remind us today, to help us to function as you intend? Brother, would you call to mind all those, like I should. I haven't talked to, I should give to, I should reach out to, all of those I should, being calls for the body to be activated and energized. Help us to put down our prison, our judgment of each other. We can really receive and function together. Father, even in this moment right now, with the gifts that you distributed in your body, energize, activate your body. Mm-hmm.